Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, Monday edition. It's so nice to be back with you. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and today, two of the finest apologists in the world we've got lined up for you. Second hour, Trent Horn's going to be here. First hour, our good friend Carlo Broussard. Carlo is the apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And he's also the kind of person that will help you out if you're in a jam. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy. How are you, buddy?
Good. Do you know why I say the kind of person who will help you out if you're in a jam?
Maybe because I'm rushing in here and trying to get ready.
And because we thought, as a matter of fact, everybody in this building thought Trent was going to be here this hour. But Trent thought he's here next hour.
Hey.
So we flipped your hours about 30 seconds ago, and thanks for rushing down here.
No problem. It's my pleasure, man.
Why it matters to be Catholic is our topic this hour. Why does it matter to be Catholic? You know, I suppose there's a lot of people who say it doesn't matter what religion you are. They're all pretty much the same. Why, you know, if you were raised Catholic, maybe that's where you're comfortable, but it doesn't really matter. Maybe there are Protestant people out there who want to call because they might have the idea that what's important is that personal relationship with Christ or with the—
Which is important.
Which is important, right?
But for many, it excludes to that. It's restricted to that, to the exclusion of belonging to a visible community.
Any objection? Maybe it's a Catholic who's thinking of leaving the faith because they're attracted to another denomination. Maybe they've got I don't know if you know this, Carlo.
Yeah.
Some of these churches now, they got video screens and they got Starbucks coffee and they got the whole deal. I mean, guys, make it nice and cushy for you.
Pretty cool stuff.
Very tempting. So why would you stay a Catholic if you can get Starbucks at your church? Well, today is your hour. Why it matters to be Catholic. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. The number, as you probably have figured out already. You can call if you're Catholic. Call if you're not Catholic. Even if you're not a Christian, I mean, maybe you might be wondering why we Catholics think it's so important to be Catholic. And maybe you have a question in that regard. Maybe you want to pose a challenge to us in that regard. We're happy with all of that. 888-318-7884. Carlo, next week, I want to get to this before I forget. You're going to be in New Jersey. Is that right?
New Jersey? No. Rochester, New York.
Oh, Rochester, New York. Okay.
Yes.
So that's next weekend. Rochester.
That's this upcoming weekend on Saturday. It's the Full of Grace Women's Conference in Rochester, New York. So I'll be giving a couple of talks on Our Blessed Mother, one, A New Eve for a New Humanity.
Yep.
And then the second being a biblical defense, Your Royal Highness, a biblical defense of Mary's queenship. So,
wonderful.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. And then after that, I go straight to Alabama to do some filming with EWTN at home with Jim and Joy.
Great. That is wonderful. The book, again, is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Among the obstacles to the Catholic Church is the idea that maybe you don't need to be a member. Maybe it's just not that important. That's why we tackle the topic, why it matters to be Catholic this week. Lots of calls coming in, Carlo, and while Marie is screening those, I got to go out and do talks on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went up to Chino.
Fantastic.
You know where Chino is, right? It's east of L.A.
I've heard of it.
Wonderful. Did three talks with this parish group there. But I wanted to tell you this part. The woman who made the arrangements for me to come up there, she said a whole bunch of people knew you. They knew all the apologists. They knew all about Catholic Answers and, some had heard of me, that kind of thing. But
I know the feeling, brother.
But the woman said to me—
Who are you? You're not Trent Horn? Oh, okay. You're not Tim Staples?
Yeah, right. But I'm not going to say the woman's name, but she said, I had no idea who you were. And I said, well, how did you end up inviting me to come up? And she goes, I typed into Google, vibrant Catholic speaker, Southern California, and your name came up first.
Congratulations, brother.
I said, that's really cool because turns out I am vibrant.
You are.
I just thought that was the greatest story.
Did you live up to the expectation?
Oh, yeah. I was vibrant as heck after that. I mean, once she told me that, I don't exactly know what the quality vibrant is, but I tried to manifest it.
Awesome, man.
Why it matters to be Catholic, our topic today, 888-31-TRUTH, the number. And John in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, you are first with Carlo Broussard. Your question, John. Oh, yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes. Go ahead, John.
Okay, I just turned you guys on. I just got off work, and you guys were talking about switching and, you know, how appealing it would be to go to the churches with the Starbucks and everything.
Yeah.
And so I just moved down to San Antonio, and so I'm visiting churches. My girlfriend is a very devout Catholic.
Okay.
So I've been going to church with her and considering going, you know, switching from Southern Baptist to becoming a Catholic because I'm finding it very intriguing.
Okay.
And also, I've been reading the Bible with her, and I've been finding it more stimulating to my faith, and I'm finding my faith being deeper now that I'm studying with her.
Oh, beautiful.
And
go ahead.
But I got to be honest, I went to one of those churches down here that's not Baptist, but it's more of a community church, and it's got the Starbucks and everything in it. And now after going to Mass for the past month and a half, I find it very disrespectful to go sit in there with people that bring a cup of coffee in there.
Right. Well, I mean, you're playing in two different ball games here, you know, concerning going to Matt. Now, I'm assuming the sitting in with the cup of coffee, you're not referring to the Catholic Church, but to the other Christian community that you were attending, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're dealing with two different ball games. So their perspective of worship is, you know, praise and worship and song, which is a great good, preaching from the word, which is a great good, and fellowship, which is a tremendous good. These are all goods that we can acknowledge even as Catholics, John. But what we profess to have and what we know to have as Catholics is a higher good. In fact, John, we profess and we believe that we have the highest good of all goods, namely God himself made flesh, present to us in the Holy Eucharist at the Mass. And of course, I don't know if you know or not, but I'm assuming that you know that, but just for our listeners' sake, the Holy Eucharist referring to that which you see to be bread, right? After the words that the priest prays, this is my body, this is my blood, that actually becomes Jesus Christ present to us fully, substantially, body, blood, soul, and divinity behind the veil of the senses, behind the appearance of bread and wine. So inasmuch as we have the highest good, John, in Jesus Christ himself substantially present with us in the Holy Eucharist, as good as all that other stuff is in the other Christian community, the fullness of truth and grace exist in the Catholic Church and in the highest form of worship at the Mass, because he who is the fullness of grace and truth, according to John 1:14, is substantially present in the Eucharist. So that would be the first thing I would say, John, and I would affirm, I mean, praise God, God's grace is confirming you in your experience of that peace and how God is drawing you to a deeper faith in your experience of Catholicism, John. And so I want to highlight that as well. And know, John, that the Spirit is moving within your heart because there is a depthness. I can speak from personal experience here, John, that there is a depthness here. There's the tradition and the beauty of our Catholic faith goes very deep compared to other forms of Christianity, and you're experiencing that. So I want to affirm that. And then finally, John, I would say essentially of why we ought to be Catholic is because the Catholic Church is the original church established by Jesus Christ, that Christ called among the disciples 12 apostles, one of whom he appointed to be the visible principle of unity of his flock here on earth, of the church here on earth. And that was St. Peter. And we see that, John, in Matthew 16, 18 through 19, and we can talk about that. But essentially, we have that historical evidence that Christ built his church upon Peter as the visible foundation, you might say grafted into Christ himself. and that Peter had successors in his role as the keeper of the keys, as the supreme binder and looser, as this visible source of unity for Christ's church here on earth. And those successors are the bishops of Rome. And since the Catholic Church is that church, John, that has that historical continuity to Peter, whom Christ invested with a supreme authority on earth to govern and to guide Christ's church on earth, this is why we ought to be Catholic, because it is the church established by Jesus Christ. And out of love of Christ, we become members of the visible church of Christ, the Catholic Church. What do you think of that, John?
I mean, I'm agreeing with everything. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time. As a matter of fact, this weekend I prayed, you know, before that the Spirit would move within me and, you know, reach out to me. And then I was listening to y'all's morning program coming to work, you know, 6:30 in the morning, and something hit me, and they were talking about all the art and stuff in the church, and it just brought me to tears, and I couldn't stop myself. And then Sunday morning, I just felt moved by the Spirit in the Mass, and we were they were singing Amazing Grace, and I just started crying again.
Beautiful.
You know,
man,
I
beautiful.
Mean, I know what all that is. I know it's the Spirit moving within me, and I understand that. I still have a few questions.
Sure, sure.
You know, obviously, I grew up in a strict Southern Baptist home for, you know, my entire life. Now, my dad is an excellent example. I mean, you couldn't look at him from any other denomination and say, well, I don't want to be a Baptist because of my upbringing. I had very godly parents.
Right. And you can rejoice in that. Yeah.
That.
Amen.
Yeah.
And be grateful for that.
I mean, my dad today is at doing prison ministries over in Beaumont, Texas.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And John, we affirm that 100% because we do not teach as Catholics that God operates with his grace only and exclusively within the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. God does administer his grace and work in people's lives outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. But know, John, that the fullness of that grace subsists or exists within the Catholic Church. And whatever grace people respond to and are moved by outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, as you right now, John, are experiencing, and even your father and the good things that he does, that grace ultimately comes from Christ the head, but through his body, the church. And so all grace, any grace by which an individual is saved by the grace that fully subsists within the Catholic Church. So, John, I would highly encourage you, brother, keep praying and keep studying, keep asking questions. And I would encourage you to visit our website at Catholic.com, where many of those questions will be answered for you. And please, John, please don't be shy to give us a call back sometime. Okay, brother?
I will do it. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
All right.
Oh, you started us off in a very joyful way today, John. It's a great pleasure to speak with you. And we really would love it if you'd call again. I know I was going to look up, and I forgot to, Carlo, just now. I thought I had a sheet here on when you're going to be in Texas so that it maybe – because he's calling from San Antonio.
But, oh, there you go.
Yeah, but I'll find it before the end of the show, and I'll provide that information to you there, John. Great talking with you. It is 20 Answers Challenge time still. Did you know this, Carlo? That Lent starts on Wednesday.
I know. Isn't it crazy? It's just like, oh my goodness, Lent's already here.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
And here in California, you may not have grown up with this, but we have a tradition called Mardi Gras on the day before Ash Wednesday. But
you have a tradition, brother. I think you got it from us in Louisiana, man. Because we know how to do it up and down in Louisiana, Shaq.
Yeah, I imagine so. But will you be playing your accordion for Mardi Gras at all?
It may be in my house for my kids. Yeah.
Oh man!
But back home, Louisiana, man, it's starting today. Like all day today.
Oh yeah.
All day tomorrow. There's festivals with Cajun music all day.
Oh, how nice.
Fun times. I miss it. I do miss it.
All right. I totally got off track, though. I was supposed to say that you can get the 20 Answers books for 60% off right now. All 32 books. You get the set for 60% off and get free shipping. And the challenge is, can you read them all through Lent and the Easter season? Go to shop.catholic.com and get your entire set, 32 books, 60% off with free shipping right now.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carla Broussard, our guest. Why does it matter to be Catholic? Why does it even matter? I'm asking it in that kind of slightly grumpy teenager voice, but there's lots of very legitimate reasons to ask a question like, why does it matter to be Catholic? And we'd love to take yours, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer that version. Let's go to Teresa in North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Teresa, your question for Carlo.
Yes. I left the church quite a while ago. I came back in 79. In this clerical thingy, like, you know, nothing is really, the Pope's not really doing anything about it. I mean, you know, and that's discouraging.
Well, I mean, I would say things are being done about it. But Teresa, I would affirm you in your being disheartened and being discouraged, and that's fine. You know, there's a healthy, can we say a healthy discouragement, you know, of being like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't
want
to go so far in saying it's okay to be discouraged because that implies a form of despair perhaps, right? But it's okay to be frustrated, and it's okay to be angry. Let's just say that, Teresa. With our leaders, with priests and bishops within the church failing to live up according to the Christian standard of how they ought to be living as a Christian, first and foremost, but then even secondly, how they ought to be conducting themselves as leaders of Christ's church on this earth. So anytime we have leaders who fail in their leadership and in their role as pastors, we can rightfully be angry with that and frustrated. But Teresa, it's important also to not allow ourselves to keep our eyes focused only on the things of this earth, namely the human dimension of the church. Because Teresa, Christ, in his infinite wisdom and providential plan, willed to establish this church and not preserve his leaders from sin. He never promised that his ministers would be impeccable or free from all sin. He only promised that the successors to the apostles, when united with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome, when teaching in definitive matters of faith and morals, would be protected from error. That's what he promised. He promised that the hierarchical order would exist within the church until the end of the age, until the end of the world. That's what he promised. But he never promised, Teresa, that they would be absolutely holy, okay? But what he did promise, as I mentioned, are those divine gifts that he gave to the church, that the Holy Spirit would protect the church from teaching error in an official manner, that the Holy Spirit would preserve the church in existence here on earth until the end of the world. These are promises, Teresa, that we can have faith in because it's Jesus himself who makes those promises. So no matter how sinful that bishop or priest might be, we still have those ministerial offices with powers to change bread and wine into Jesus himself, with the power in the name of Jesus Christ to remit and absolve the guilt of sin on our soul and to bring grace into our lives. And Teresa, that's the good news of being Catholic. That's the beauty of being Catholic, because no matter how sinful and how scandalous our bishops and priests might be in their lives, we still have those divine promises. So I would encourage you, Teresa, to follow the counsel of St. Paul from, I did it again, I pressed the button, sorry about that. To follow the counsel of St. Paul in Colossians 3:2, I think it is, where he says we must keep our eyes fixed on things above rather than things below. And the things above are that which comes from on high, from God himself, God made flesh, Jesus Christ, and those promises to preserve his church in the truth, to preserve the divine life we call grace within the church that's given through the sacraments until the end of the world. And that, Teresa, we can rejoice in while at the same time being righteously angry with failings and having frustration and doing what we can according to our competence to rectify the situation. It might, for some of us, it might just be prayer and fasting. Others who are competent in certain positions of authority within society, within the church, to work in order to rectify and to get the corruption out of the church that needs to be done.
Okay, Teresa?
Yep.
Thank you. Really Thanks. Appreciate that call. We're talking with Carla Broussard today. Our topic, why does it matter to be Catholic? Let's go to Jack in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Jack, thanks for joining us. Your question for Carla.
Thank you, gentlemen. I've been trying to come up with a good example for this, and this might sound a little trite, but I think it's meaningful because it has to have happened tens of thousands of times throughout history. And what this goes back to is the idea that we have a fullness in the Catholic religion that other Christian religions don't. Okay. And so here's my question. A child is baptized Catholic. Maybe he's in some barbaric land or something like that. His parents are killed. He's raised as a slave. The only thing he's got that nobody else has in that area is he's baptized a Catholic. He knows nothing about his religion. He's got that one miracle, and that's it. Can we expect any difference? Can we expect any way for that to manifest in his life that other people aren't going to see? I mean, does that make sense?
No, it's a great question, Jack, and it makes perfect sense. So, you know, what your question is based on the Catholic understanding that through baptism, there is an objective reality that takes place, right? That what we call, you know, metaphorically speaking, a mark on the soul, the indelible mark. That is to say that the soul becomes, ontologically speaking, changed in that it becomes a son of God, and sanctifying grace is administered to the soul of that child who is baptized. So based upon that, I think it's perfectly legitimate to ask, you know, would there be any sort of visible manifestation? I don't have a definitive answer on that, to be honest with you, Jack, because to be honest, I've never really pondered the question, you know, so I'm not answering this question based upon any research that I've done, you know, in my study of grace, etc. But here's a few thoughts that come to mind, and we'll see what you think, Jack. I do think that it would be, I mean, obviously it's reasonable to say that there very well may be a visible manifestation of that grace in some way that would be different than others, because by virtue of that indelible mark and by virtue of sanctifying grace on condition that the child's not growing up and commits a mortal sin and loses the grace or something, right? That God is working and moving in the soul of that individual in a way that's different than others, because that sanctifying grace is a habitual grace, right? It's a grace that resides within the soul, disposing the individual to do good, right? And to pursue virtue and even to pursue, you know, the higher forms of virtue, of faith and hope and charity. So based upon that understanding of sanctifying grace, it seems to me initially, as I think about it reasonably, that there would be some sort of public manifestation of this individual perhaps acting and behaving in ways that are holier than other people. Now, at the same time, Jack, I must admit this, that I kind of want to temper that, because grace is not magic, and it does require some fostering and stuff. So maybe I can try to finish that up on the other side of the break.
It needs some nature to build on there.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. Jack, hang on if you can. We'll continue with Carlo's answer right after this. The topic this hour, why it matters to be Catholic. 888-318-7884. The number, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow is Fat Tuesday.
But what does that mean spiritually?
That's our topic on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now let's get back to Cy and Catholic Answers Live.
Now I'm starting to think Jerry likes it, and he knows I like it. I mean, when he says my name, because Jerry doesn't say back to Catholic Answers Live. He says back to Cy at Catholic Answers Live, and he knows I'm so lame. But that tickles me. So whatever, Carlo, I admitted it to you. All right.
I think he likes you, and I like you. In that,
oh my gosh, that helps.
In Thanks. That, yeah. You are here hosting Catholic Answers Live. We are very so blessed. You know what? It
Go
matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
That Cy Kellett hosts Catholic Answers Live.
All right. I'm so glad that this is on tape too, because that is I'm going to be using that. That's going to be my. You know what? I think I'll make that my ringtone now.
There you go, man. It matters.
So Jack in Columbus, Ohio, posed this problem. Okay, so a little baby gets baptized. Mom and dad are killed or something, and the baby is raised as a slave in a different society. It's a scenario that seems very likely, probably happened at some point. Would there be any visible difference in the baby because it had been baptized? I mean, as he grew,
right?
Any
visible manifestation of that grace that might be objectively there. Jack, are you still there, brother?
Still here.
Okay. So what I was trying to do before the break is to articulate one possible explanation that maybe perhaps there would be different visible manifestations in this individual's behavior on condition that he didn't cut himself off from grace through committing an objectively speaking a mortal sin, right? However, I could see that somebody could offer an alternative explanation, Jack, based upon the principle that, you know, grace builds upon nature. It's not magic. You're not just going to automatically, you know, become a saint because, objectively speaking, sanctifying grace is dwelling within the soul, and you're not going to automatically manifest a form of perfect holiness. And as Sai, you were saying earlier, you know, the church even has a practice that if the parents aren't going to raise the kid Catholic within the church encourage, you know, says to the parents, you know, we want you to get your child baptized, but if you're not going to foster the gift that is given to the child in baptism, then the church encourages those parents to refrain from baptism. So based upon those principles, somebody could offer a plausible explanation that no, there wouldn't necessarily be any visible difference in that individual's life as opposed to others who didn't have sanctifying grace. So, Jack, I'm going to plead agnostic on this one, and I'm going to say I'm going to have to go crack open some books and read the Summa Theologiae again and Aquinas' treatment on grace and see if he addresses this. But it's a great question, so I could see two possible avenues somebody might take, but I'm hesitant to pitch my tent in one of those camps. So, sorry, I can't give you a more definitive answer, brother.
Jack, is that all right with you?
Well, I couldn't give a more honest answer than that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and one last point, I think it's important to mention that there, we can acknowledge that an objective reality is present, right? Mm-hmm. Namely, sanctifying grace. The question is not whether there's an objective grace there, but how or in what way would that grace manifest itself?
Right.
And that brings up the question of what is required, you know, with our cooperation, you know, because, you know, the church teaches that grace is given in an unmerited way. It's a free gift, right?
Yeah.
But in order for that grace to be effective, to bear fruit in our lives, it does require cooperation from our human free will. And that, St. Thomas Aquinas does articulate very well. The church teaches that grace is a free gift, but it also requires our free cooperation with that grace in order to manifest itself and certain fruits to come forth. So, yeah, something to pursue here. I'm going to have to check into it more.
I feel like there might be an analogy on the natural level that happens all the time. Like maybe say there's a child who's born a mathematics genius, but is never taught mathematics, is never exposed to that. You know, maybe lives a life of difficulty and never. Well, it's not that the child doesn't have the
skill,
genius.
Right.
It's that there's nothing there to bring it to flower.
Yeah, I think of, you know, young kids who have a natural gift. Like, for example, my daughter Savannah has a wonderful gift to play the piano, a natural gift. And she's doing pretty darn good, pretty mm-hmm. darn well on her own, right?
Yeah.
But some people can have that natural gift, and you know, eventually we're going to put her in lessons and hopefully be able to, so she could play at a different level, right? And to go further and to perfect that skill. But sometimes you can have the skill, and if you don't have the tools to foster it,
right?
Then you're going to be limited in the manifestations of
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. But you good still point. Got the gift.
Yeah,
you
amen. That was a good
analogy?
Analog there.
Yeah. A lot of times my analogies fail, Carlo. I'm glad
it worked
got one.
On that one, brother.
All right. Ann in Michigan. Well, I don't know. Is this watching or listening? I don't actually know. Nick will have to tell me. Either watching or listening on Roku. I have never seen that before,
really?
Ann. Are you there with us, Ann?
Yes.
Can you see us or hear us on Roku?
I can see you.
What?
And I was actually wondering about the picture behind you, Carlo. Is that Peter giving the keys back to Jesus?
No, it's Peter receiving the keys from Jesus. But I must admit, it does look like
it kind of looks like Peter's giving them back. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, never, thank you.
I never looked at it like that. So how can we help you?
Yeah, so I have a very intellectually based faith. I'm practicing Roman Catholic, have been my whole life. I've never really doubted it at all.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily understand the concept of doubt, which I guess is both a blessing and a curse. But I've spent like my whole life learning apologetics because that's my passion. I love to learn. I probably read 3 books a week. But I'm having trouble with conversations that go past just the initial question and answer. And like I listen to Catholic Answers all the time, so I get a great example of that. but it never goes past that initial question and answer because obviously it's just a radio show. And I'm married to a Protestant. Most of our friends are Protestant, so I get in this situation all the time. But they never understand my answers, and I could recite, you know, Brant Petrie's book, Jesus and the Jewish Church of the Universe, to them, but they just still won't understand and accept it. So I'm guessing, I'm asking, like, how to continue the conversation with both grace, but sticking up for truth without saying, that's fine, you believe whatever you want to believe, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I think I kind of get it. So, you know, the gist of the question seems to me and to be, I've done my homework, I know the arguments, I present the arguments, they don't buy it. So what do I do, right? And I think, and fundamentally, there's no, you know, silver bullet answer to that. Everybody is different. Everybody is going to respond and react to the arguments in different ways. So, I mean, all I can say, Anne, is first of all, to consistently and continue to study as you're studying, of course, animated by charity and prayer, and staying close to the Holy Spirit. And it's just a matter of trying to discern in the very context of the conversation exactly where the individual is itching so that you can scratch it. Because sometimes, I know from my own experience, Anne, I have, got into the conversation and immediately went after a point that the individual just really wasn't interested in. Like, that wasn't the question weighing heavy on his or her heart. And sometimes they actually agreed with me and they didn't really disagree. And so it's important to ask fundamental questions. What do they believe? Why do they believe it? What are their obstacles to Catholicism? You know, what are their hangups concerning Mary, if that's the topic, or concerning the saints, or concerning the papacy? What exactly is stopping them from assenting to the truth that we believe as Catholics? And once you kind of understand, once you figure that out, well, then you can start pressing it. Then that's where the conversation can go, because now you're going to be talking about something that they're interested in. So that would be the first thing. And then finally, Anne, I think I would just say, we have to realize that not everyone is going to convert on the spot. We cannot expect that. All our job is to do. Now, granted, we hope and we long and we desire for those to whom we're speaking would convert on the spot and have an epiphany. Oh, my goodness gracious, I need to be Catholic. That would be great, right? Because we desire all to experience the joy in the fullness of truth and life in the Catholic Church. That's why it matters to be Catholic, right? Jesus wills it. But we can't expect that in ordinary circumstances, because Jesus himself didn't accomplish that, right?
Yeah.
Now, granted, he could have, you know, given them an extraordinary amount of grace to move their will in a certain degree in accord with its nature in order to assent, but he didn't, right? He preached the truth. They killed him, right? He preached the truth. They tried to kill him. They tried to throw stones at him, and they indeed killed him. So if Jesus can present an argument or a truth and his audience not embrace it, not accept it, and so too we can present an argument and a truth, and those to whom we speak do not accept it. But what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't stop presenting the truth, right? He didn't cower out. He kept on. He kept on keeping on, right? He kept on, and he kept on to fulfill the mission that the Father sent him on, to be united to him, to die for us, to rise, etc. So, Anne, I think in our own lives, we present the argument, they don't buy it. What do we do? Well, we need to be praying for them, right? And we need to recognize, okay, the conversation needs to stop here. Let's change the subject. But at the same time, I'm not copping out. I'm asking the Holy Spirit for direction to know when the next opportunity arrives. And that if God wills it, that he would move the heart of the individual to present that opportunity to me so that I can begin engaging in that conversation again concerning the Catholic faith. What are your thoughts about that, Anne?
Yeah, I think it's just going to take a lot of practice and a lot of patience.
Yes.
Is there like a book or something that you would recommend that could help me with that? That could help to like understand? Would it be?
Yeah. So one book from a Protestant source actually, and is Tactics by Gregory Kokel. Let's see here. Yeah, so it's tactics, a game plan for discussing your Christian convictions. And it's a great step-by-step, very practical book. Gregory Kokel, K-O-U-K-L is his last name. And I would also recommend my colleague and friend's DVD set, his DVD, Three Tips to Sharing Your Faith, I think it is.
Sorry, I can't.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Whenever there's pressure on, I can't remember it.
I know. It's at shop.catholic.com.
All right. Well, Carlo's looking that up. I want to recommend Terry Barber's book.
Oh, really? Terry has a book.
Yeah, Terry has a really beautiful book called How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, a Practical Manual for Catholic Evangelization. And Carlo's going to tell you this other resource. But before that, I want you to know, if you're not writing all this down, Ann, it'll be in the show notes. So you just go to catholic.com, look in the show notes for this show. That Nick Chamberlain puts there, and it'll be there. What do you got?
Yeah, so Trent's DVD is The Three Secrets to Sharing the Faith. And it's basically fundamentally an asking what, asking why, and then pressing that why once they give you the why, and then engaging them in that conversation concerning the reasons behind the what.
And thank you very, very much for that call. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Why does it matter to be Catholic? We're talking about that, why it matters to be Catholic today. Give us a call if you'd like to discuss that with us, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Carlo is the author of the magnificent book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And right now, you can get a great deal on that if you want to give it away to some people for Advent or Easter season. We're offering a special on you get five copies. If you get five copies or more, the price drops to $10 a copy. It's just a great way to share the faith this Lent. Just visit shop.catholic.com, get Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, for $10 a copy as long as you buy five or more.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had four children, and all four died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, "Oh, what a pity." And she said, "Oh, no, what a blessing." If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Why even bother? Why does it matter to be Catholic? It does matter. And we're talking about why it matters today. 888-318-7884 is the number. Carlo Broussard is our guest this hour. And we go to Chris in Chandler, Arizona, watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, Chris. Your question for Carlo.
Yes. There seems to be some concern about some of the statements that Pope Francis seems to make at times, and it seems to be confusing to the lady, myself included, being a cradle Catholic. Some of the things he said recently about, about atheists being able to get into heaven, whereas, you know, that's not the dogma, I believe, of the Church. It's just, it's very difficult to understand, and he doesn't seem to clarify when asked a lot of times, and so there seems to be out there.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, I think, first of all, I don't know exactly which particular statement that you're referring to from Pope Francis. So I can't comment explicitly on that. But I can comment on the principle itself concerning what does the church teach about individuals outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church and the possibility of them attaining heaven. So I can comment on that. But before I do that, you threw in sort of a third aspect there concerning possible confusion that arises from some of the Pope's statements and maybe perhaps his lack of clarity and lack of clarification subsequent to statements that he makes. And that's fine. I mean, that's something that, you know, across the board, Catholics can be a bit frustrated with and say, you know, Holy Father, come on, man, give us some clarity here. And that's perfectly legitimate, right?
Yeah.
And I would agree with you, Chris, that, hey, there's some things I would like for him to clarify and just give us a little clarification on. So there's nothing wrong with that. But concerning the actual principle of, you know, can someone outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church receive the grace of salvation? And the fundamental answer to that question is yes. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church is automatically going to heaven, right? It's not suggesting a religious indifferentism and that being Catholic doesn't matter.
Right.
That's not what it's suggesting. What it is teaching, what the Church does teach, for example, in paragraph 1260 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I think it's referencing Gaudium et Spes from the Second Vatican Council, that the Holy Spirit offers to all the possibility of being made partakers in a way known to God of the Paschal mystery. And then it goes on to give certain conditions. Every man who is ignorant of the gospel of Christ and of his church, and that's referring to an invincible ignorance, someone who's ignorant of the revelation of Christ and his church, but is not responsible or not culpable for that ignorance. The Catechism goes on to state, but seeks that individual, but nevertheless seeks the truth and does the will of God in accordance with his understanding of it, can be saved, right? And then it goes on to articulate this concept of implicit desire for baptism, which St. Thomas Aquinas articulates, Pope Pius XII taught it in Mystici Corporis, right? The mystical body of Christ, that God knows the hearts of individuals. And God knows that if the revelation of Jesus Christ and the sacrament of baptism would have been revealed to this individual, then they would have embraced it, mm-hmm. right? And so it is possible for an individual outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church to receive the grace of salvation precisely because, Chris, as the Catechism points out in paragraph 1257, God is not bound by his sacraments. He binds us to the sacraments in ordinary circumstances, those to whom it is revealed. But God is not bound by the sacraments. He can work outside the visible boundaries of the sacraments and administer the grace of salvation to individuals who are not responsible for their ignorance, etc. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't matter to be Catholic, because as the doctrinal note on evangelization from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 2007 states that within the Catholic Church, because the fullness of grace and truth subsists within the Catholic Church, it is, objectively speaking, a great good that God wills for all people to have. And that provides for us, you might say, an easier path by which we can attain salvation and persevere unto the end because we have all the truth and all the grace. So we have all the equipment needed, right, that Christ wills for us to have to attain our final end of salvation. But at the same time, it is possible for people outside the visible boundaries to be saved. What do you think of that, Chris? Is that helpful?
Right. Aware that as Catholics, we're bound by the sacraments, but God isn't necessarily bound by the sacraments. People find other ways, potentially. But it was just the statement that the Pope had made about
Chris, I'm sorry. It's just breaking up a little bit, but I just wanted to clarify. It's not that people find another way to be saved.
Very good catch there, Sai. I wanted to comment on that. We're not saying that there's some other means by which an individual attains salvation apart from Jesus Christ. No, anybody who is saved by the grace of God that comes from the head, Jesus Christ, through the body, the Catholic Church. So we're not preaching some other way of salvation. No, it's all through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And one more thing, Cy, and we can go to the next caller. He's talking about specifically atheists, because that's a question that will come up. What about the atheist who's just outright denying God?
Right.
And the Catechism, in its section on atheism, the citation is slipping my memory, but it states explicitly that atheism, the rejection of God, objectively speaking, is a grave, serious matter, right?
Right.
It's a sin against the virtue of religion to reject God. But then it goes on to articulate the possibility that an individual atheist might not be culpable for that objective sin,
right,
against the virtue of religion. And the Catechism even goes forward and says, and has, you know, it goes, it states in so many terms that believers often are to blame.
Yeah, for
lessening or for the atheism, right, of an individual. Inasmuch as we teach false doctrine or we present a false image of God.
Or we hurt a child, for example.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So just because somebody is an atheist and saying, I don't believe in God, it doesn't necessarily follow they're automatically going to hell, because we don't know what's going on in the mind and the interior movements of the heart that's leading them to verbally, right,
yeah,
state their atheism and commit the sin against the virtue of religion on an objective level. And so hopefully that gets to what Chris was asking about in a little bit more
Thanks,
focused
Chris,
way.
Very much for the call. Let's go to Trey in Missouri. Trey, your question for Carlo.
Hi, Carlo. Thanks for taking my call. And well, my question, I feel like it relates to the last one, just was,
yeah,
do I or that matter, anyone, do we have to be Catholic to go to heaven, or is it more of a matter of you're saying a person should be Catholic?
Right, right. Yeah, so to ask the question, do I have to be Catholic to go to heaven, is kind of phrasing the question in a wrong way. So, you know, that question in and of itself seems to imply sort of an absolute necessity. Namely, you know, if I'm not registered at a Catholic church and within the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, then I'm automatically damned. And unless I repent, that I'm going to hell. That would not be the Catholic position, as I just articulated with the previous caller, Trey. Now we could say it's sort of a conditional necessity. And what I mean by that is, on condition that Jesus establishes the Catholic Church, well, that condition is met, right? That it's necessary that we belong to the Catholic Church. But I think we can add in another condition, right? On condition that the necessity would apply to one who comes to a knowledge that the Catholic Church is the Catholic Church established by Jesus Christ, who is God made flesh. And for that individual who comes to that cognitive awareness, it would be necessary for that individual to assent to that truth, to embrace that truth, and to direct his life in accord with that truth in order to be saved. For if that individual, Trey, does not, well, then he would be making a positive act of the will to reject the gift of Jesus Christ. And inasmuch as you make a positive act of the will to reject the gift, you reject the gift giver, which merits separation from the gift giver. And if an individual dies in that state, we call it the state of mortal sin, without repentance, then that individual is going to be definitively separated from the gift giver, namely Jesus Christ himself, for all eternity. So does that help clarify for you, Trey, how we can maybe make this distinction between an absolute necessity? No. But on condition that somebody has awareness that it is the true church and then rejects it, well, then they wouldn't be able to, you know, they would be separated from Christ. What do you think of that?
No, that definitely brings clarity to what you're saying. I guess I would just say, so you basically, you would say, like, for example, like a Baptist or a just say Baptist, it's possible that when they die, God, as you know, the Almighty, could possibly view them in his heart as somewhat Catholic, but they just didn't come to the knowledge.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
But you know what? We're all going to end up Catholic in heaven anyways. Might as well do it now. Carlo Broussard's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. 5 copies or more in your order, and you get it for just $10 right now at shop.catholic.com. It's a beautiful book to share with people who might have obstacles in their way to embracing God, the Gospel, of the Church. Next hour, Trent Horn will be here. Carlo, thank you for a very fine hour.
Hey, thank you, Si.
Really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.